I wonder if I want to go along any further with the theme, because now that we've been fleeced by the first speaker that we had this morning, there's another story about Gideon that you should hear. Did you know that Gideon was the source of a comment about the fact that there was a British sports car with a muffler problem in the Old Testament? It said in the book of Judges that the sound of Gideon's triumph was heard throughout the land. And that was with only 300 soldiers. Okay, enough fal-de-ral. I am honored to be here. Not only am I honored to be here, but I have something slightly in common with, I only say slightly because I am not totally blind as some of you are, but as a result of a stroke I suffered 19 years ago, I believe, in this past July, that I lost the left half of my vision in both eyes. And that's because where the stroke occurred in my brain, you could say I was not in my right mind. So, on that side. Yeah, I was out in left field. That was the peanut gallery behind me. But nonetheless, I've had to try and adjust, as many of you have. And I'm thankful for the way in which God has enabled me to adjust and to adapt. Because up until that time, when I had the stroke, I was serving as a chaplain at one of our nursing homes in the Twin Cities area in Minneapolis, South Minneapolis. And I had been there for a good year, seeing many people come to Christ and doing the other thing that chaplains in nursing homes do most, and that's performing funerals. Right. And then I suffered a stroke because in July, because we thought when I had the headache, it sounded like or looked like I was having a recurrence of my cancer that I'd suffered earlier. And praise God, he delivered me from that. I've been 20 years cancer-free. Amen. 21 years. I don't want to take glory away from the Lord. But nonetheless, what I experienced was a year away from the chaplaincy, recovering, doing all my therapy and all that kind of stuff, realizing that what the doctor said was true. Different strokes for different folks. And some of us recover and some of us don't. And that's all right. I got back enough that I was able to go to work in a wheelchair. And it was interesting because, of course, you know, a lot of people in a nursing home, how do they get around? Wheelchairs. And so they finally had a chaplain that was kind of at eye level with them. And I could pull up alongside of them and identify with it. Been there, done that. In fact, several times the social workers would call me and say, Mrs. Jones doesn't want to go to her therapy. Would you come and twist her arm into going to it? And so I was able to help her get convinced that she wasn't going to get any better if she didn't go. And so praise God for the way he's used me all these years. But thankfully, my better half, as Bob referred to her, has been working at the same place almost as long as I have. And now she's become my caregiver as well, both at the home, but at the home too. So I'm just so thankful for this wonderful lady. You ought to give her a hand too. Yes, he is so good. And I was told that our major theme for this week is the journey of faith. And I feel like I've been on a journey of faith since August 13th, 1959, the day at Lake Geneva Youth Camp when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Amen. And That's a long time ago. I was just a kid. I was 13. Yeah. And the speaker pointed to the doors in the back and said, if Jesus came through that door and said that only those of you who believe in me can come home with me, would you be able to go? And he said that two or three times. And he said, if you aren't sure, come down to the front and I'll talk to you about it. Guess who was the first kid down there? Me. And that day I got right with the Lord, and I've never looked back. And the Lord laid on my heart the verse in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So the Lord has been good to me and given me opportunities beyond measure. In fact, one of the greatest things I have seen happen each and every year I've been at the nursing home is that, well, just within the last 3 weeks, I've seen two people come to know Christ. And that's just in 2 weeks. I mean, every couple of weeks, the Lord leads me through one of the Christian nurses to go down and see Mr. Jones or Mr. Smith because he's dying and he needs to know the Lord. And so I go down there and I use my little booklet, Steps to Peace with God, from Billy Graham. And every time I use it and get to the prayer page, the Holy Spirit's been there before and they come to know the Lord. So I'm just so thankful for that opportunity. The journey of faith, and you've already heard the verses from Hebrews 11, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. But I wanted to share with you, I know there's been a lot of prayers offered already, but I loved Charles Stanley's In Touch magazine, and my wife found these prayers in these In Touch magazine, and I wanted to read this morning prayer, if I might. Father, thank you for the blessing of this new morning and the privilege of beginning the day by talking to you. I give myself and my schedule to you today, asking to be used to further your kingdom. Grant me the wisdom to handle each situation I encounter with grace, so that my speech will be pleasing and my thoughts pure as I follow your direction. I'm grateful that your plans for me are good. Jeremiah 29:11. For God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's for all of you. And I eagerly trust in your steadfast faithfulness. Help me to live in a manner worthy of your calling. That's for all of us who know the Lord. You have placed on my life, and to magnify your name in all things, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. We'll do the evening prayer later. But there's a verse that comes out of the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Now, I'm not going to preach about the law to you today. We'd be here scratching our heads all day. But I wanted to share with you this verse because it has to do with our theme. You shall walk after the Lord, or follow after the Lord, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and serve Him, and cleave or hold tight unto Him. Is there any better summary of what it means to journey in faith? Walk in the Lord's. Walk after the Lord. Micah the prophet said, what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? And that's what he's trying to tell us to do here. And then also to fear God. To fear him in all that we do. God is saying so many things to us. There's so many things we can fear in this world. Don't fear the Lord, fear the world. Fear Him. And when you do, only then can you keep His commandments and obey Him. And then to observe all that He wants you to do and obey His voice. Just like in John chapter 10, He declares Himself as the Good Shepherd, doesn't He? And He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me." The journey of faith. My sheep, those are the ones who believe in Me, hear My voice, and they follow Me. And there's another part of that whole process. Not only do My sheep hear My voice and follow Me, but He says, other sheep have I who are not of this fold. So what that means, thank God, Jesus was including in that chapter you and me, because that chapter was originally given to the house of Israel, the Jews. And the Gentiles weren't included. But because He said, other sheep have I that are not of this fold, but they are Mine. Amen. So we who belong to Him by faith in Christ, we are His sheep. And later on in the 10th chapter of John, he says, all those, Father, whom Thou hast given Me, will be with Me where I am. And He also says, no one can take them out of My Father's hand. It's called the perseverance of the saints. And God's love and grace will hold you no matter what happens in your life, so that you can serve Him and cleave to Him. Serve Him. Just like Joshua said, as for Me and My house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Yes, there's so much that we could learn about following after the Lord and fearing Him and keeping His commandments. But we need to walk in His way day by day. And to do that, you've got to listen to Him. You need to take time to do so. Escape to a quiet place where you can hear Him. There's so many, especially in this year of politics, there's so many voices clamoring. Yes. But we, you know, I think it's time, the Lord gave me this again, it's time to review the two most important verses in the Bible. One in the Old Testament, one in the New. The first one in the New Testament, I'm sure you remember, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. But the second most important verse is in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If My people, who are called by My name, will humble themselves and pray and seek My face, here's the tough part, and turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sin, and here's the best part, then I'll heal their land. So I read that or hear that, and it reminds me, whose responsibility is it to heal the land? It's God's people who are called by His name to pray, seek His face, turn from our wicked ways. And if we do that, we can see God heal this wicked land. I heard another preacher say one time, in fact, it was Dr. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. I heard him say one time, if we don't get on our knees and have God and repent of all of our sin in this nation, if we don't do this, God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for destroying them, because we today are just as bad, if not worse. I'm not saying that to destroy any person or persons. I'm simply saying that God is a God of love, but God is also a God of justice. And we've got to remember that. We need, when we walk in His ways, to fear God and keep His commandments as we listen to Him and serve Him and follow Him. Oh, God is so good. Yes. And there's that. I used the King James Version the first time, but one of my favorite, most recent translations is the New Living Translation. It was done within the last 10 years. It's using some of the more recent documents that have been uncovered in the Near East. And it's not related to the Old Living Bible. That's not the same thing. That was a paraphrase when Dr. Ken Taylor was ashamed of the fact his grandchildren wouldn't read the Bible. Well, the only thing they had was the King James. So he sat down with his Bible and wrote it in his own words. That was the original Living Bible. But this one, the New Living Translation, was translated by evangelical Bible scholars, many of whom I studied under at Trinity Seminary in Illinois, and some from Bethel Seminary here in the Minneapolis area. So listen how this says in that version. Serve only the Lord your God and fear Him alone. Obey His commands, listen to His voice, and cling to Him tightly. See? It's a difference. But that's all right. It's the same thing. All right. So there's so much for us to learn by turning to the Lord and coming to Him and being followers of Christ. And now I want us to think about a couple of thoughts that I've jotted down. This is one of my ministries at the nursing home. I look in Daily Bread devotional guides and some other guides, and I find a thought for the day for each day of the month. And here's one. Keep your spiritual tools ready, men and women. God still has work for you to do. Amen. Now, whom God calls, He qualifies. Yes. Whom He qualifies, He sends. Yes. And if you keep looking back, you can't possibly make forward progress. Of course, I shouldn't make a political comment here, but if pro is the opposite of con, what is the opposite of progress? Congress. I'm sorry. But anyway, now I'd like to turn our attention to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. I guess you could say we're going to take a Luke of the book. I heard that. That's not original. From a prophet seminary. And he said that every time. Okay. Chapter 9 in Luke, verses 1 through 9. Okay? And I'm reading from the New Living again. If I could just find the beginning of the book. You know, I love Bibles that have thin pages, but you can't turn them. Yes. Yeah. All right. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick. I don't think he was referring to you folks with a white cane. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Oh boy, that could get a little ripe after a while. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake the dust off your feet and leave. And as you leave, show them that you have abandoned those people to their fate. And then, when Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, heard about everything Jesus was doing, he was puzzled. I wonder why. Some were saying that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. Oh no, Herod. He wasn't John the Baptist. Others thought Jesus was Elijah or one of the prophets risen from the dead. But I beheaded John, Herod said. So who is this man about whom I hear such stories? And he kept trying to see him. Not too hard, but he kept trying to see him. That was verse 9. Let's look at these verses. And now I'm going to give you a chance to react a little bit verbally. Now I'm told that you aren't, reticent to speak your mind. What decision does Jesus make about his ministry in the first couple verses? About sending out the 12. No, that's not yet. That's yeah. He gave them authority. He's extending his ministry, isn't he? He knows that he has the power, but he wants them to be empowered to go forward and do his work. And he empowers you and me in different ways to do his work. That's why I shared with you how much joy I have when I see people come to know Christ. And that's not just for pastors. There isn't a thing. In fact, Bob, you'll remember this, Carolyn. Remember the masthead that I used to use at the church? I used to list my name as senior pastor and the youth pastor's name underneath it. But then I said, ministers, the rest of the congregation. Everybody else who loves the Lord and serves him are ministers of the gospel. And that's what you're supposed to do. So Jesus decided to extend his ministry. And what was King Herod's reaction? Was he happy about this?
No,
he was confused because he kept thinking somebody... John the Baptist had been raised from the dead, but he knew John had lost his head over it, so he couldn't possibly have come back. And Elijah had been gone for a long time, so he couldn't possibly have come back. So, what's that?
Guilty dog barks.
That's right.
What I'm saying is that why did he bring that up? It's John's, John
yeah.
The Baptist.
That's right. His guilt was getting to him. That's good. Good reaction. And then we go to verses 57 in that chapter. I'm going to skip a little bit to 62. And that's a couple pages over in my Bible. Here we go. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." He said to another person, "Follow me." And the man agreed. Then he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead." That reminds me of another comment where a pastor was up in front of the church preaching about the book of Ephesians. And he said, "You know, some of you are going to go to heaven before others are." And the deacon in the front row said, "What do you mean, preacher?" He says, "Because the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first." Okay. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach the kingdom of God. I submit that to you. When you folks get done with your conference here, it's important for you to go back to Hawaii or Philadelphia or wherever you're from and preach the kingdom of God. Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." Another excuse. But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." How about that? I mean, you can't put your hand to the plow and say, "I'm going to work for you, Lord," and then keep looking over your shoulder. Does anybody remember the old baseball player named Satchel Paige? Yeah. Do you remember what he's famous for?
"Don't look back."
He says, "Don't look back, because somebody is going to be gaining on you." And that's basically what Jesus is saying here too. If you keep looking back, you can't possibly plow a straight furrow for the kingdom of God in front of you. Yes, it is. Okay. And then, that's the end of it. And that's the end of that passage. What is the cost of following Jesus? You've got to give up everything. That's right.
And
deny yourself. What do these excuses, how does Jesus react to these excuses? Does he pass them off or does he react to them? He gives them a reaction to each one, but he says, "People, you're obviously not ready to follow me. If you've got to go back and say goodbye to mommy or daddy, if you're not ready to follow me. If you've got to go back and bury your father, is your father more important than me? Let the dead bury their dead," it was said in the King James. All right? We've got to be aware of what Jesus is talking to us about here. All right? And now we get into chapter 10, because we won't get through all this passage today because I was told I only have till, 11:30? Okay, about 6 minutes. It wasn't 11:30 tonight. You got to remember, when you wind up a preacher, you don't know what you're going to get. Chapter 10. The Lord now chose to send 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them, different instructions. "The harvest is great, and the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his fields. Why do you think Jesus chose to send 72 at this time? Because there weren't enough workers, were there? And he could have chose 172, and it still wouldn't have been enough to go around. But he wants to make sure that we understand the shortage of workers. Now go and remember I'm sending you out as lambs among the wolves. Don't take any money with you, or a traveler's bag, or an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anybody on the road. Can't get friendly like we like to be. Minnesota nice. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. And if they're not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. So he's saying, we've got work for you to do. But he's saying, don't be afraid to accept what they might give you, because you're worthy of your hire. A Christian disciple has to be willing to get out and work among the people. What kind of household guests were they to be?
Visitors?
Pardon?
Visitors?
Yeah, they were. When they were in the house with somebody, were they? They were supposed to be courteous. They do what they could, right? And to share the kingdom of God with them, right? And as we go on down further, and then we'll top it off here. Verse 8, if you enter a town and they welcome you, whatever is said before you, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you right now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe the dust off of your town from our feet, to show that we've abandoned you to your fate. And know this, even though the kingdom of God is near, I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. You see, if you reject the Lord Jesus and his kingdom, you will be judged. And that's what they're to say. The important thing, there's an old song, maybe you could sing it one of these days. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. I'm trying to remember the rest of the words, but I won't waste time. I'll look for it. Help me remember to look for it, dear. And we'll... Huh?
Yep, Janice
will have to... All right. We'll remember that. That's okay. So we'll call it quits here at chapter 10, verse 10. I think that's what it was. Nonetheless, it's important. I want to honor your time commitment and to remind you that the Lord has an important job for each one of you to accomplish, because he's qualified you. And as you spend time alone with him, you will find him spending time with you to enable you to serve him. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this group of people who, despite their limitations, are able to serve you and commit themselves to continue to serve you wherever they live, wherever they are. Lord, I pray that you would grant them guidance and grace in the days that we can share together. We ask your blessing and in your encouragement so that they can be energized with the gospel and go forward to spread the kingdom of God. And it's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.